Radio Prague News.
The Environment Minister says if Saxony-Anhalt doesn't remove waste illegally exported to North Bohemia, the Czech authorities will do so and send them the bill. A Prague taxi driver was found dead on Sunday after apparently being robbed. And the leading Czech men's tennis player, Radek Štěpánek, has reached a career-best 12th in the world rankings. The Czech Environment Minister, Libor Ambrozek, says if the German state of Saxony-Anhalt doesn't remove waste illegally exported to Libčevets in North Bohemia, the Czech authorities will do so and send them the bill. Firefighters were called out to deal with a blaze at a dump in Libčeves at the weekend, the third fire there since February. Several cases of the illegal importing of German rubbish to the Czech Republic have been reported in recent months. A Prague taxi driver was found dead in his car in the Černý Most district on Sunday morning, TV Nova reported. He had picked up his last passenger on Wenceslas Square on Saturday night. Police believe the motive for the killing was robbery. Rudolf Slansky, a former diplomat and dissident, has died at the age of 71. He was expelled from the Communist Party following the Soviet-led invasion of 1968 and later signed the Charter 77 protest document. From 1990 to 1996, he was Czechoslovak and then Czech ambassador to Moscow, where he had spent the war years as a boy. His father, also Rudolf Slansky, was executed in the 1950s after Czechoslovakia's most notorious show trial. Prague's biggest fun fair, Matějská pouť, is on Monday closing its gates for the last time this year. The traditional fair begins at the end of February and takes place in the Výstaviště exhibition grounds in Prague 7. The leading Czech men's tennis player, Radek Štěpánek, has reached 12th in the ATP World Rankings, the highest position of his career. Štěpánek won his first ATP title in Rotterdam in February, after previously losing three finals. English Premier League club Fulham are interested in signing the Czech footballer Rudolf Skácel in the summer, the internet site ForTheGame.com reported. The player is contracted to Marseille, but has been on loan at Scotland's Hearts all season. He's been a big success at the club, scoring 16 goals in 31 league games. Finally, the weather. It should be mostly bright over the next few days, with some cloud and occasional rain. Temperatures are expected to reach up to 18 degrees Celsius. That's the end of the news. This is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. If Easter is celebrated wherever you are in the world, we hope you're enjoying the long weekend. Easter Monday is a state holiday here in the Czech Republic, and here on Radio Prague we've prepared a special programme. The subject is Czechs and the teaching of Czech in Scotland. In the second half of the programme, we'll meet a Czech-Slovak couple who own a castle near Glasgow. But first, let's pay a visit to the Slavonic Studies Department at Glasgow University's School of Modern Languages and Cultures. Bagpipes play in the centre of Glasgow. A few miles away in the west of the city is where you'll find Glasgow University, a huge campus with around 20,000 students. The university teaches Czech studies and the Czech language, and has been doing so for over 50 years. Here's lecturer Jan Čulík on the man who set the ball rolling.
Lumír Soukup, fresh Czech emigre, former secretary of Jan Masaryk, the Czech foreign minister who probably was killed or committed suicide early in 1948, sort of ended up in Scotland, and he offered himself his services to Glasgow University that he could do Czech studies. And quite amazingly, I think for the first 2 or 3 years, they kept him on a full salary just in case somebody expressed an interest in doing Czech studies. That was something so absolutely unreal.
Several years later, the department came under pressure at a time of cutbacks in the education sector in the 1980s. But nevertheless, it managed to expand.
Two posts for Czech studies were established. One in the teaching of the language and one in teaching literature, history and everything else. The language post was held by Dr. Josef Fronek, who's now retired, but you may know his name as the author of the dictionaries. The other literary and cultural post was held by Dr. Igor Hájek, who used to be or was a very close collaborator of writer Josef Škvorecký. He was from the generation of literární noviny from the 1960s. So he did the literary and cultural stuff. He died suddenly in 1995, and I was kind of asked to take over. The two posts still continue. One is a language post. My colleague Ilona Klem runs it very, very efficiently. I was supposed to be doing what is primarily literature, but also history, but it's now sort of branched out. We do Czech film, and of course Czech media, in the context of overall Central and East European studies.
Hi, my name is Ilona Klem, and I have been working in the Slavonic Studies Department for the past 7 years, teaching mostly the Czech language, but also Czech literature, and doing other things for the Department of Central and East European Studies, which is our sort of sister department.
Ilona Klem says far more students choose Czech studies than the more difficult Czech language.
When it comes to Czech language, students studying the Czech language are in a minority because Czech is still considered to be a rather exotic language. So we get around 10 to 12, sometimes 14 students every year in level one.
What are the particular difficulties that British people have learning Czech?
Well, where do I begin? it helps if a British student has studied a language before, because Czech is in general regarded as a very difficult language to learn. I suppose pronunciation can be problems with pronunciation can be overcome fairly easily, although the notorious Rza is a problem and always continues to be a problem for the first couple of years of study. But I think the biggest problem that our students have is that grammar is not really taught in the British secondary school system. Our students come to us as clean slates, so to speak. So we have to start from the very beginning and introduce them to the system of the language.
The University College London School of Slavonic Studies is possibly better known than yours. Are you rivals or do you cooperate?
We tend to cooperate. We are also rivals, I suppose. It's the same even in this field, even in the academic field. But Czech in Glasgow has a long tradition as well. It has been taught at this university since 1949 together with Polish. And it was made possible by a very generous grant, or rather a sum of money given by the then Czechoslovak president Edvard Beneš. Throughout the years we have also received more funding from the University of Lancaster, where Czech used to be taught, and then some of the funds came over here as well. We are, as you may know, the only university in Scotland where Czech is taught right up to honours level. So you could say that from the Scottish perspective, we are rivals to London.
One of Ilona Klem's students is Max Park. She's originally from South Korea, but has spent much of her life in the Netherlands. When I met her in a lively student cafe, she told me what had drawn her to the study of Czech.
It was an accident. I started Slavonic studies, and then I read some Czech authors like Milan Kundera and Škvorecký. I want to read, you know, their books in Czech because I don't like translations.
How long ago was that, and can you now read in the original?
With much difficulty, yes. But you know, I still have to use dictionary. I can read some simple stuff, but I think the Czech language is very, very difficult to learn.
How long would you say it takes to learn Czech?
well?
It depends, because if you live in the Czech Republic, that would be much easier because you can practice the language. But here, you only go to classes and you can only watch, you know, television in the university and read some books. So there's not much, you know, you can't really practice your Czech apart from with your teachers.
And I guess they speak more formal Czech, or do they also teach you informal?
No, not informal. Because when I went to the Czech Republic on an exchange program, I had a lot of problems because they spoke, of course, colloquial Czech. Of course, when I was there, I picked up those things. And I came back here, and I spoke colloquial Czech, and they were surprised because they didn't teach us those things.
What for you is the hardest thing about learning Czech?
First, I thought it was the pronunciation. Because, you know, there are a lot of consonants together. And then it was the grammar, the cases. It still confuses me sometimes. But I think it's the use of, I think it's the expressions they use, because it's quite different from English or German, those languages I know. So those expressions, like Czech expressions, I think they're quite difficult.
So basically, almost everything about learning Czech is difficult, in the view of student Max Park. But as well as the language, the Glasgow department also teaches Czech studies. As we've heard, far more students sign up for the latter.
We actually do the teaching in two different ways, right? You could accuse us of dumbing down. British universities have been under pressure because, I mean, the Brits and the Americans, you know it, don't really want to learn any languages, right? So actually language teaching normally had been going down. And of course, Czech is extremely difficult, and usually you have fairly low student numbers in single figures, right? So we started about 5 years ago also a program about Central and Eastern Europe, which is taught in English, although there's an option of doing the languages, Czech, Polish or Russian. This has been very, very useful. It's been a very, very good idea. We are capable actually to address literally hundreds of students who will not necessarily end up as East European specialists, but who will be lawyers, I don't know, musicians, technicians, and who, for a part of their university career, would have done some stuff about Czech. Last year, we had a law student who wrote absolutely marvelous essays on Czech film. Britain does not necessarily need hundreds of specialists in Czech studies, but it will need. And so few people realize this here, how important it is. I mean, say lawyers or politicians who will be sitting in the European Parliament and they will be voting, and they will suddenly somehow at the back of their mind realize that, I mean, there is such a thing as the Czech Republic and there is Czech film, or there was Comenius or something like that. So that's what we do.
Jan Čulík also spends a month every year teaching at various universities in the Czech Republic. Before we say goodbye to Glasgow University's School of Modern Languages and Cultures, I just have to ask, how do students from both countries compare?
In the first place, Glasgow University is much more international than any Czech university. In fact, it is true that, for instance, Masaryk University in Brno actually does attract quite a lot of foreign students, but unfortunately they keep them in a kind of ghetto, right? So that the foreign students are absolutely isolated from the local ones, which is a pity. This doesn't happen in Glasgow, and like at any other, I suppose, British universities, there are students from 100 countries of the world. One of our best students of Czech language is a girl from Thailand. Another person who does Czech is a Finn. So that there are people from various countries. And there are, of course, Scots and English people. Compared to Czech students, maybe British students have less general knowledge. But when presented with facts, they are taught, the best of them are taught how to deal with these facts, how to analyze them independently, and primarily, the best students know how to write. Czech students are expected to learn facts, and quite a lot of them in a kind of encyclopedic manner. And what I have found is that they do have problems. They can't write. I mean, British university system is based on essay culture good elementary and secondary schools will expect their pupils from an early age of about 9 or 10 to write short essays and longer essays or whatever, so they know how to do it. Czech students can't, and they can't express themselves terribly well. But finally, the final point is the best Czech students are better than the international students.
It's Easter Monday, and you're listening to a special program from Radio Prague. After that visit to Glasgow University, it's time now to leave the city behind and meet a Czech-Slovak couple who live in a most unusual home by the sea.
My name is Jan Edelman. I am from Polička, a very small town in the Czech Republic, about 100 miles from Prague. And I am a translator, professional translator from English into Czech and Slovak with the help of my wife.
I am Lydia Edelman. I am from Slovakia and I worked for the BBC Slovak section. Now I run Bed and Breakfast in Castle Levan,
which is where I recently spent a very pleasant afternoon with Jan and Lydia. Castle Levan is in Gourock, a seaside town less than an hour from Glasgow. Of course, my first question was, how did a Czech-Slovak couple end up owning a castle in Scotland?
I was working for the BBC as well, for the BBC Czechoslovak and later Czech section. Lydia was working for the Slovak section.
In London, was that?
In London, yes. Maybe you know that London is very expensive and traffic is terrible and transport and so on. So we were looking for some quiet place in Scotland because we had been here for several times and we fell in love with this country. And when I was in the Czech Republic nearly 4 years ago, I was looking for some small property somewhere in Scotland, some farm or something like that. And I found that this castle, Castle Levan, was for sale at that time. And we decided to go for that, and within 4 months we moved in. The funny thing is that the price of the castle was nearly the same money we got for the house in London, because you may know that the houses in London are terribly expensive. So it was rather, I would say, cheap.
What I can see of the castle here, it looks like it's in great condition. Was it like this when you bought it?
Yes, it was, because the castle was rebuilt about 20 years ago. It was in ruins for nearly 300 years. It was completely abandoned. And then a couple from Larks nearby bought it, and within 6 or 7 years they rebuilt it to its previous glory. And that's why the castle was in perfect order. When we bought it, we just had to have some slates replaced on the roof, and otherwise it was perfect. So it was no work for us, in fact.
And Lydia, do you enjoy being the owner of a castle here in Scotland?
Oh, yes, I have a big garden and I am gardening, and I think I am for everything, girl for everything.
And are there any drawbacks of living in a castle? Any problems?
I don't think so. Some people thought that we wouldn't like living in a castle somewhere outside the civilization, but it's in the middle of the town of Gourock. It's not far away from Glasgow here. So I think we don't regret having sold our house in London and moved to Scotland. So it's okay, no problems at all.
Are you the only Czechs and Slovaks, or Czech and Slovak, in the area, or do you know any other Czechs here or Slovaks?
Not in this area, but we know that there's a lady from the Czech Republic, or formerly Czechoslovakia, who owns the Kodor Castle, which is near Inverness. But I don't think there are any Czechs or Slovaks living nearby here. But we've got some people coming from our country, some friends of ours, and some guests also, because we also cooperate with some Czech travel agencies, so they send us Czech and Slovak tourists here as well. So we have opportunities of speaking Czech.
Owning a castle in Scotland is rather exotic. What do the Edelmans' family and friends at home think about the fact they've become lord and lady of a Scottish citadel?
I know that some of them, when we decided to buy the castle, some of them thought that we went crazy completely, because we changed London for some godforsaken place somewhere in Scotland. But some of them have visited us already and they changed their mind. And for example, our relatives both in the Czech Republic and the Slovak Republic are quite happy to come here and spend some time with us. And I think they like it here. It's some sort of it's unusual for them that some friends of ours or some friends of theirs have a castle in Scotland. So I think they like it.
So you've been here 3.5 years in Castle Leven in Scotland. How do you like Scotland and Scottish people?
Oh, they are very nice. On the every step, they are waving and greeting you and smiling because they say it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, that's right. Even before we moved in, when we came here for the first time and we went from here to the town of Gourock, and we've been meeting lots of people on our way and they were smiling at us and saying hello. It would never happen in London. It's the same in every capital, in every big city. In Prague, you are completely anonymous there. But it has advantages and disadvantages as well, because everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everything about everybody.
What about the Scottish accent? Because even for me, it can be difficult to understand people.
Yes, it is still difficult for us. People who know we are foreigners, so they try to speak slowly and they try to not to use the accent too much. But sometimes when the English people come here to stay in the castle, so we are very, very happy that when they admit that they don't understand the Scottish as well. And they are the same nation, in fact, or the same in the same country, and we are foreigners. But you get used to that, because we listen to the Scottish radio and Scottish televisions and so on. So we are used to it now, but sometimes it is difficult to understand.
What about the weather here? For example, today, it's wet, miserable, grey.
We've got used to that already, especially in summer. It's raining a lot here, so we miss the sun. And we miss the Czech weather, because in our country, when it's winter, so it's really cold, and when it's summer, so it's really hot. But here it's all the same. It's about, I don't know, 20, 25 degrees above zero. In the summer, it's hot for Scotland. I think it might be just one thing which is not so nice here, but we don't mind at all.
And I couldn't leave the somewhat bijou but very pretty Castle Leven without Jan and Lydia Edelman giving me a bit of a tour.
When the couple from Largs bought it, there was nothing. There was no floors, no roof, just three walls standing. So it was a lot of money, of course, and a lot of work to do. So this was originally a kitchen. It was a black kitchen, I think, at that time. But it's been rebuilt, and it's beautiful. The aga here, aga stove here. And so this is Lydia's kingdom here.
I see also all the doors are very low. Did it take you a while to stop banging your head?
I'm still banging my head, to be honest. And it took some time, because I have, I don't know, 6 feet. And it's the doors are about maybe 5 feet only. So it's very, very low. And so it takes some time to get used to that. But I'm still banging my head. This is the main bedroom, which we rent. It's originally it was the Laird's bedroom. And it's the same size as the grey hall downstairs.
And it's very quiet here.
Yes, it is, because at night, even in summer, when you open the windows here, so the only sounds you can hear is the brook or the burn in the garden, a small waterfall there, and sometimes owls are hooting in the garden, and that's it. You can't hear anything at all here. So people sometimes oversleep in the morning because it's so, so quiet, and they are not used to that.
So now we're standing on the battlements of Castle Leven.
So you can see the burn here, with the small waterfall. And there is also a conservatory or a winter garden. Because as Lydia mentioned, she's crazy about gardening. She's got green fingers. Unfortunately, the weather is not so nice today, because otherwise you can see a whole panorama with the mountains. And Loch Lomond is somewhere over there. And from time to time, you can even see submarines here, because there's a fast lane, the British naval base on the other side, and there's a ferry going to Dunoon every 20 minutes.
So I'm sure it must be beautiful sometime during the year.
Yes, it is, and it was beautiful. When the weather is beautiful, so it's really lovely. And you can see all kinds of, I don't know, rainbows, and you can see dolphins here as well, and seals. So it's beautiful.
Well, that you wouldn't find in the Czech Republic.
No, not at all. There are many nice countryside or many landscapes in our country as well, but we haven't got any sea, so we are still enchanted by the sea here.
That brings us to the end of today's special program here on Radio Prague. If there's anything you'd like to say about the program, or if you've got any questions, please don't hesitate to get in touch. You can write us a letter. That address is Vinohradská 12, Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email. That address, english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and happy Easter.